The customs inspector was a girl, very young, very trim. With the same polite smile the official in the travel agency had given me, she said, "Will you please open your valise?" My heart beat faster. Inside, without any effort to hide them, I had put the supply of Chinese Bibles with which I would test China's reaction to the presence of a missionary. How was this young official going to react? I raised the lid to my suitcase, revealing the stacks of Bibles, and as I did, I had my first puzzling experience with the Chinese communists. The customs officer did not touch a thing in my suitcase. She looked at the Bibles for a moment, then raised her eyes. "Thank you, sir," she said with the ever-present smile. "Are you carrying a watch? Do you have a camera?" No reaction at all to what she had seen in the suitcase. She was 20, perhaps 25 years old. Was it possible that she had never seen a Bible? That she had no idea what it was? The train for Canton was waiting for us. The ancient passenger car was spotlessly clean. Fresh flowers filled little vases between the seats. A stewardess served us hot tea. As the train started, I glanced at my watch. We were on schedule to the minute. The stewardess, after searching a moment for the English words, beamed at me. "Our train on time," she said. It was my first encounter with the "our" of modern China. Everywhere I heard about "our train," "our revolution," "our first Chinese-made automobile." And in the railroad station in Canton, I got a glimpse of how such national sentiment is created and maintained. Everywhere were racks of reading matter, beautifully printed and illustrated, and free. It was the same at the hotel where I stayed. Stack upon stack of literature awaited me in the lobby, the dining room, every stair landing. Those in the hotel were in European languages, German, English, French, and obviously directed at the traveller. But elsewhere the literature was for home consumption. Every magazine, newspaper, movie and play carried a twofold message: be grateful for the revolution, hate America. One night I went to a theatre where a troupe of child acrobats was performing. The comedian was a puck-like little boy who was always trying to light a firecracker. Each time, just as the fuse was about to ignite the powder, the hero of the play would put it out. With each episode the firecracker got larger, until it had become an atomic bomb, draped with a huge American flag. Again, at the last moment, the hero saved the day and destroyed the bomb. At this, the audience went wild, leaping from their seats in a frenzy of glee and patriotism. The other theme of all propaganda, enthusiasm for the revolution, was equally relentless, and in its own way just as deadening. During my stay in Canton, I visited an old people's home. By European standards it was extremely primitive, but the men and women there seemed content enough.